Good evening. Don't worry, I'm preaching from the right side of the pulpit today. If you were here this morning, I preached from over there, and somebody said I was preaching on the wrong side. But be back where I belong, I guess. Tonight we're going to be in Luke chapter 9. So if you've got a Bible, let's open there with me, Luke chapter 9. We might hit a place or two along the way, but we'll be in Luke chapter 9. As we're turning there, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us to spend studying your word. And Father, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, that you would teach us your truth, that my words wouldn't be my words only, but they would be yours, that they would speak your truth, that they would proclaim your goodness, your love, and your beauty. And Father, we pray that by the power of your word and the Spirit, that you would mold us and shape us into the kind of people and the kind of church that you have called us to be. Father, we thank you for blessing us the way that you do. God, we thank you for all the exciting things that you're doing in our midst that we get to be a part of. And Father, we pray that you would bless us now as we strive to learn how to better follow you. God, we pray that you would be with us tonight and us all and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, over the past several weeks, we have been kind of talking directly and indirectly about two really big ideas that are all over the Scripture. And those ideas are discipleship and mission. These ideas are huge all over, especially the New Testament. That first word, discipleship, is one of the essential ideas in the Gospels. Anytime the Bible talks about following, or anytime it talks about learning or imitating, it's talking about this idea of discipleship, which, if you remember, simply means following. It means to be a learner or a student. So it's talking about following Jesus. And when I was in college, I kind of began to study the Scriptures a little bit more deeply than I had before, like really starting to kind of wrestle with it and immerse myself in it. And when I did, I realized just how big this idea of discipleship really is. But I also realized that outside of talking about the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, I almost never used this kind of language. And I began to kind of listen around at different congregations and different Bible studies and things and realized that we don't use this word a whole lot. The idea is all over the Gospels, but we don't use this word very often. And I tried to figure out why that was. And I realized that at least where I was in Columbus, there was almost an intentional effort not to use this word discipleship. Because there was a movement in the church back several decades ago that kind of took this word and misused it. Made it to mean something it really wasn't supposed to mean. And so we kind of reacted against it, saying, like, we don't want to be like that group. So we're not going to use the word. We're not going to use the language. But I think we need to take it back. I think we need to use this word, this idea, because it is a biblical idea. In fact, it is central to the life of the church. It is central to our calling as God's people. You remember the Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus, at the end of his earthly ministry, as he's preparing to be ascended back into heaven, says, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations." Do what? Make disciples of all nations. Central to the task of followers of Jesus is the task to make followers of Jesus. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Discipleship is crucial to our identity as a church. Because all of us, first of all, are disciples. All of us who have given our life to Jesus through baptism have said, "I want to follow him." And we have become disciples. But we're also given the task of making disciples. So it's crucial not just to our identity, but it's crucial to our mission. And that's kind of the second big idea, the second big word that's all over the Scriptures. The mission of God. Now that word mission, if you do kind of a concordance search, or if you search on your iPhone app for the word mission, it's probably not going to show up very often. But that's primarily because language has changed a bit over the years. Our word mission comes from a Latin word, That Latin word is missio. Now, you theologians will talk about missio Dei, which is just a Latin phrase to talk about the mission of God. And what that word means, missio, that gives us our word mission, it simply means sending. So anytime the Bible talks about people being sent, people being commissioned, like here in the Great Commission, it is talking about this idea of mission. So when God sends a prophet, he sends the prophet with a mission. When Jesus sends his disciples, he sends them with a mission. And that's exactly what's going on in our passage in Luke chapter 9. Jesus is giving his disciples a mission. And this story should sound pretty familiar to you, but let's dive in and read this passage together. In verse 1, it says, Jesus called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Whatever or wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And so they departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. These are, in a sense, Jesus' marching orders to his disciples, saying, this is the plan, this is the play, this is what you're supposed to do. When I was in junior high and for part of high school, I played basketball. I wasn't very good. And I remember kind of these moments at the end of a game where kind of the game would be on the line, be approaching the last few minutes of the game, and the coach would call a timeout, maybe like 3 seconds left in the game, timed for one play, one basket, and he would get his little clipboard and he would draw out the play and would say, like, you go here, you do this, and we're going to give the ball to this guy and he's going to score the game-winning point and it's going to be awesome. I didn't really pay attention, ever. You know why? Because I was sitting on the bench. Like, I knew exactly what I was going to be doing in those moments. It's just watching and crossing my fingers and hoping that it worked out. But there was a moment that came when I was playing JV where by some stroke of just tragedy, I ended up on the court for one of those moments. And I had to pay attention to that play. Now, luckily, my role wasn't significant at all. Or at least it wasn't like, I'm not Michael Jordan, I'm not getting the game-winning shot. But I paid attention a little bit differently when I was involved. See, this story, it's a game plan. It's a game plan. We're not exactly involved because it's a particular situation. This isn't a prescription for the church, which means that when you go on a trip, you're allowed to take a bag with you. You're allowed to bring an extra shirt. That's not what this passage is talking about. But what this does do for us is kind of give us an idea of what it's like for us as disciples to be sent on mission. See, when I was not paying attention very much to those plays being drawn up, it didn't help prepare me for when I was in the game. See, as we kind of pay attention to this story, it's particular instructions. Don't take a bag with you. Things are particular instructions. But it helps us learn what it's like for us when we are in the game. And church, when we leave this place, we are in the game. That's we have been called to this kind of life. So several weeks ago, we talked about this same story, if you remember. We talked about it in depth in the Gospel of Mark. And if you remember kind of how we summarized this mission, that Jesus sent his disciples speaking and serving. That's what their mission was, to speak about the kingdom of God and to serve those they came in contact with. So that's kind of the overarching framework for this. The mission is speaking. The mission is serving. But as we reflect on this, I want to just to kind of give us some down-to-earth encouragement for us as we go into our lives and into our world, seeking to follow Jesus. And so the first thing we've got to remember is that Jesus was up to something. Jesus was up to something in his ministry. Jesus was on a mission. I don't know if you've ever been on a mission before, kind of with a specific task in front of you, but when you are on a mission, everything else kind of takes second place, right? When you've got a goal you're trying to reach and you're intent on reaching that goal, everything else becomes about reaching that goal. And that's what things were like for Jesus. Back earlier this summer, Amanda and I forget where we were. We were kind of out of town somewhere one afternoon doing something. And we had plans later that night to go to the last teen devotional of the year. And as we were kind of driving back from out of town, Amanda got her first and only pregnancy craving. She wanted the mustard-flavored pretzels. I don't even remember what they're called exactly, but pretzels with mustard flavor on them. And so for the next 2 hours, as we are coming out of town, I was thinking, how can we get these mustard-flavored pretzels? Now, I was more intent on getting her the pretzels than she was on getting them. But I was thinking, okay, we've got to do these things. We've got to stop home. We've got to change. We've got to go to Moundsville. And thinking, okay, I can drop her off at the house. I can run to the store, get them, come back, pick her up, head back to Moundsville, or we can stop at the store along the way. My mind was just trying to figure out how to accomplish this mission. Everything became about that mission. And that's the way Jesus lived. Jesus came on a mission. He came with a purpose, and everything he did was about that mission. But what we've got to notice, we've got to remember, is that Jesus wasn't on this mission alone. Jesus didn't try to do his mission alone. Number one, he relied on God and he relied on the Holy Spirit, which is a sermon for another time. We could talk about that all day. But number two, Jesus used people. Jesus used people to spread his message, to accomplish his mission. Now remember, in the ancient world, it was perfectly normal, very common in fact, for someone to send a representative to speak on their behalf. But Jesus is the embodiment of God in the world. It's God in flesh. God could have done whatever he wanted to do. I mean, I can imagine him using a hologram of some kind. If you're into Star Wars, the Obi-Wan Kenobi deal at the beginning of the first Star Wars movie. He could have used teleportation or just kind of zapped himself from town to town, from house to house to share this message. Or he could have kind of, in a more biblical sense, used dreams and visions or angels to spread this message. He's got a whole host of, he's the God of angel armies, and he could have used them to spread the message, to spread the mission. But who does he choose? Who does he use to accomplish his mission? He uses people. He uses people like the 12 apostles. And to kind of bring this home a little bit more for us, he chooses us. He's chosen the Church of Christ in St. Clairsville to be a witness to his mission, to be a part of his purpose and his plan in the Ohio Valley. Because see, here's the thing. Jesus was on a mission, and that mission is still alive. I love the way that Paul kind of frames this in some of his writing. In Colossians 1, Paul is talking about Jesus, and it says that in Jesus, chapter 1, verse 20, that it's through Jesus that God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross, saying through Jesus, God's mission to reconcile all things to himself. And earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. And so we are ambassadors for Jesus, since God is making his appeal through us. And he goes on to talk about this Jesus. Paul says that God has given us a mission in Jesus, and that mission is still alive because God is still reconciling through Jesus and through the cross people to himself. And for those of us who have been reconciled to God, He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. When I was a kid, I always loved being or reading these kind of epic stories. I love Star Wars, as you can probably tell from my Star Wars reference already. I love The Lord of the Rings. I love those big, epic adventure stories. And I always wanted to be a part of something like that. I always wanted to be a part of this epic adventure. Have you? Have you ever wanted to be a part of something that matters, something that makes a difference? See, what I have to remind myself of all the time is that we are, aren't we? We are part of an epic story. That story is the reconciliation of all things back to God through Jesus. And we are a part of it. So I want us to notice a few things about this story as we reflect on kind of these marching orders that Jesus gives his disciples. And the first thing that we notice is that Jesus didn't wait until they were ready. If you remember, the disciples of Jesus, Peter and John and the rest, were not exactly all-stars, were they? They didn't exactly have their act together. In fact, all the time the gospel writers tell us about the silly questions they asked, about their misunderstanding several times about what Jesus is up to. They miss the point. They miss the message. They miss what God was doing through Jesus all the time. But Jesus still sends them, doesn't he? Jesus doesn't wait until they were ready, until they had it all figured out. Because if he did, if Jesus did wait until they knew all the answers, if he did wait until they had it perfectly figured out, until they were perfectly put together, then they never would have gone. And the same is true for us. If we wait until we have it figured out, if we wait until we know enough, if we wait until we have all of the answers, if we wait until we get to some level that we think we need to reach before living a life of mission, then we will never get there. Because we're never going to have all of the answers. We're never going to have it figured out completely. We're always going to be growing. We're always going to be developing. We're always going to be shaped and formed into the image of God. And so we go. There's someone who once wisely said that there is a time to prepare. Preparation is important. We're not supposed to wing life. We're not supposed to just kind of go into life blind. Preparation is important. That's why we're talking about this kind of stuff right now. But there's also a time to proceed. Because the time eventually comes when even though we don't feel ready, even though we don't think we're there yet, that we have to go. Now, this is kind of my experience almost every Sunday, especially Sunday mornings. I can spend 25 hours, 30 hours every week kind of preparing for a message on Sunday morning, and I still feel like I need more time. Like, I still want to kind of whisper to the song leader, lead another song. Like, just one more minute. But sometimes you just got to go and let God help you through the rest. Kind of think of the picture of a school classroom, kind of approaching the big test of the year. What's that classroom look like? Kind of in those 5 minutes before class is ready to start, before the teacher passes out the test. Notes and books are open all over the place, just trying to get those last couple minutes of preparation. But the time comes when we can't prepare anymore, and we just have to proceed. We just have to go. So practically speaking, here's kind of what this means for us. The time has to come when we stop just studying the Bible and start living it. Time comes for us when we have to stop just studying the Bible and start living the Bible. Now, we're never fully going to know the Bible. I learn new stuff every single week about the Scriptures, and so we always study it. We're disconnected from God when we are not immersed in the Scriptures. But it has to go beyond studying, and we have to get in the game. We've got to take the test. We've got to get out there. And so notice kind of the next thing in these marching orders. Jesus didn't make things complex. One of the things I love about the story is just how simple it is. There are no kind of crazy organizational structures. There are no kind of lines of authority. There are no, like, this person reports to this person who then has to go tell this person about what happened here. There are no crazy scenarios. If this happens, then you do this and this and this, and you input this policy and this procedure. There are no bylaws. There are no crazy policies. Just a simple mission. See, we live in a highly organized world. We live in a world that where everything is packaged, where everything is kind of put together, and everything is organized and automated. But the mission of the church, the mission of Jesus, isn't complex. It's not overly complicated at all. It's not easy, but it's not complex. And one of the dangers the church faces in a world like ours is to so neatly package and organize and program the mission that we don't ever get around to living the mission. One of the reasons why we don't have like 1,001 just awesomely titled and awesomely packaged different programs to meet every single little need that everyone has is we don't want to make things more complicated than they are. Because the mission of God is it's not easy, but it's simple. Then also notice, Jesus didn't send his disciples to promote his mission. The mission isn't talking about the mission. Like what we're doing right now, talking about the mission, isn't the mission. Does that make sense? He didn't send them to talk about the mission. He sent them to do it. He sent them, as we said earlier, to speak and to serve. And so in a similar vein, Jesus didn't send his disciples on this mission with these kind of confusing lectures and all of these fancy rhetoric, but he sent them simply to proclaim God's reign. That was the content of their message, that God is king. Yes, like what you put on, like what you wear matters. Where you live matters. You want to have food to eat. You want to do well in your job. You want to raise a good family. All of those things matter, yes, but none of those things are supreme because God alone is supreme. And in those moments when life gets hard and when life just gets crazy on us and everything's whirling around in a crazy whirlwind, this message that God is reigning as king is a message of hope. But Jesus didn't just send his disciples to proclaim God's reign. He sent them to live God's reign. He sent them to live like the reign of God was true. He sent them to live like the message they were proclaiming was true. Not just words that they were saying, but a reality that they were living. And for the disciples in the story, in the first century church, this meant that they went healing the sick and curing diseases. That's not what it means for us. But as one writer kind of put it, it means for us kind of taking the broken bits of humanity and doing what we can to put it back together. That by God's grace, we help to make people whole, to find their wholeness in Jesus. We might not cure diseases, but we can help people when they're struggling. We can help people when they're suffering. As the song that Jay led us in earlier, we can be his instruments of peace. And that's what this is about. And so we're challenged to listen to these marching orders, and we're challenged to reflect on our own lives, on your lives on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And Saturday, and Sunday. Can't forget those days. To reflect on those days and discern what it means for you to follow Jesus and to be on mission for Jesus. And when we do, it'll look a little bit like the disciples in verse 6. They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. I think this verse really captures it well. So what that means for us is wherever you go, wherever life takes you, then go bringing the good news with you. How beautiful is that? Wherever you go, bring good news with you in a world that's got so much bad news, that so desperately needs Jesus. Wherever you go, bring the good news with you, and then use the talents and abilities that God has given you to help those around you. And God will work powerfully among you. So maybe you're here tonight as we prepare for our time of responding to God, needing this good news, needing to give your life to Jesus. We want to give you a chance to do that, to be baptized tonight. Or maybe you're here and you're struggling and you want us to pray with you, to help you, to walk alongside of you. We'd love to be able to do that too. If you need to respond, why don't you come as we worship and stand.